Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for being here with me, everyone, and if you can't be with me to now, podcast the show, download the show, listen to the show on Facebook or any other social networking site that you can receive this show, the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. Welcome, everybody, to the show. Thank you for your feedback, positive feedback, negative feedback. I want to thank a lot of people who are giving a thumbs up and a positive reaction to my new photograph on Facebook. You know, I didn't like it. I didn't like it, but I thought it was a little bit better than some of the other ones I had taken. It's not the best one. So, you know, I thank you for the positive feedback. For those of you who have given your feedback to that photograph, you know, it's something about taking photographs. My son took the photograph. It's something about taking photographs and placing them on social media. Before I place it's sort of like a mythology with me when I'm doing photographs. I take about 10 to 15 photographs, you know, and we'll sit there and we'll pick out the best one, and at least the best one of the 10 or the 15 that I've taken of myself, or my son has taken, or someone else has taken, and we'll mull over them. This is no, we don't want that one. Trash that one. Throw that one out. That one's ugly. Throw that one out. That one doesn't look good. My smile is all messed up. Throw that one out. So we do the same thing for my son or anybody else that we take pictures of. We just take so many, and then we'll choose the best one to go with. So that's what happened. That's what happened. And my son, he also uploaded a photograph on his Facebook page. I don't think that's the best photograph of him, period. But that's the one he liked. I actually think the one before that was up there previously looked a lot better than the one he just put up. But hey, wow, that's something that we like to do. We like to keep our photographs of us, if we're on social media, to be current, because there's a lot of photographs on social media, including Facebook. Those photographs are not current. And in some cases, the photographs are not even of the people who are posting them and saying that it is them. A lot of the photographs on Facebook are phonies. A lot of the photographs on Facebook are people. The photographs are of the folks who are posting the photographs, but they're 10 and 20 years older, and they're, you know, 100 pounds lighter, you know. So we like to keep our photographs current, you know, no matter how old we get or how young we get or how much we gain weight. We like to keep them current because we want people to see us as we really are. And so many photographs and people on Facebook and other places, you don't see them as they really are. You know, they're frauds, they're liars, they're putting up photographs that of someone else instead of themselves, you know, and a lot of photographs. I don't like those kind of photographs where people take a photograph of themselves and post it, and it's an intimidating looking photograph. You know, it's a bully-like photograph. It's like the photograph, the person in the photograph is looking at you in a menacing way, you know, a mean way or an intimidating and bully kind of fashion that they're staring back at you on the photograph. I delete those kind of photographs because I'm not going to be intimidated, bullied, or anything. You know, I mean, because you can always say, hey, there's your unfriend button. Click it. All right. Okay. That's enough about useless photographs, at least mine. Okay. And I just wanted to throw that out there that I want to thank people who are giving me the feedback on the photograph that I recently posted. Thank you so much. Thank you for being so kind. All right, let's get down to the show. We're going to have author Nancy Verdon on the show today, and we're going to be talking about why do you write, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things in the news. There may be some things I may not be able to get to. We're going to be talking about anything goes, talk about some things in politics. We're not going to dwell on Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or any of this stuff in the media. Because I think I've done it. I think I've done a whole lot of it already in previous shows. And I don't think Donald Trump deserves free publicity, at least not on this show, because he's getting it everywhere. He's getting every time he calls into one of these television shows or radio talk show hosts, he's getting free publicity. You know, he's getting free publicity. And the media is jumping all over Donald Trump to interview him. I mean, they will give him free publicity while the other candidates have to pay for it. That's not fair. And there's no way in hell that Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States. I don't think Ted Cruz. I think Ted Cruz is a better speaker than Donald Trump. I think that's one of the reasons why Donald Trump is afraid of him, at least I think in my mind. But there's a lot of people saying that they'd rather see Donald Trump president. If they had a choice, they would rather see Donald Trump president than to see Ted Cruz, because they're saying that Ted Cruz is more dangerous. I may have to agree with them. But then again, I can't back off thinking that Donald Trump could be a lot dangerous too, more dangerous too, because he doesn't too much know anything. He doesn't know what governing is all about. I mean, every time you talk to him, you listen to him, he's changing his story. He's changing his mind. There was something he called into some show. I'm thinking it's a Sunday show. And they asked him about ISIS, you know, the terrorism that is going around the country, around the world, actually. And he says something like, well, it's a fine looking group. I have to get that quote. He's talking about ISIS. And he says something. It's a fine looking group, obviously. Then he says, oh, I got to get more information on who I'm talking about. It's obviously this guy doesn't know crap. He doesn't keep up with anything that's going on. I mean, with all these people around him, they should be, you know, infusing him and instilling him with what's going on. But Donald Trump is Donald Trump. So I'm going to get more information on that, because that is startling. I mean, he doesn't know who ISIS is, and he's calling them a good-looking group. So this is reported, folks. I'm not just making this up. I'm not saying this, but that was just astonishing. And I try not to, like I said before, I try not to talk about Donald Trump, because he's getting enough publicity, media attention, without me giving it to him. Okay? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we're going to have author Nancy Verdon on the show. Let me see. She says, I'm looking at some of her autobiography, or biography, bio, whatever you want to call it. And it says in January 2011, she tried to end her life. We're going to talk to her about that. And she's written 3 books. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about why should we be listening to her, and what does she have to tell us that we should adhere to. I'm pretty sure she's going to be a great guest, a wonderful guest. And she's going to supply you and me with a lot of insight into what she's about and how it can make you or I or anyone a lot better. And I try to have guests on the show who will bring some sort of insight, some sort of learning to all of us, because no matter how old we get, we never stop learning. I learn something every day, folks, all the time, and I'm not embarrassed to say it. I learn something every day. I learn something. Sometimes I learn things that I should have learned years ago. But hey, wow. Learning it is better than not learning it at all. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. I'm all over the place. It's 6:09 in Chicago. It's a beautiful day, 6:09 p.m. in Chicago. And it's a beautiful day. I'm sitting in my studio. I'm looking out on the Broadway. People are going here and about. The sun is shining. Daylight savings time. I mean, I think we got an hour left or so into the day. It is springtime, March, Monday, March 28th, the day after Easter. We had a great Easter, folks. I mean, we went to church. I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but we go to church every Easter. And we're going to have to start doing it a little bit more. I mean, we go to one of these churches. I mean, it is a great church. A lot of these churches are filled with ministers and pastors who are about nothing but getting brainwashing their congregation and getting their hands into your pocket. But this is a great church. It's a wonderful church. Emily is a great pastor. She's a woman. And I have yet to learn her name, because we very seldom go to church. And my son loved it. I mean, he just loved it. He said he loved it. I loved it too. But I'm always in awe of when my son is in awe of something. And when he's in awe of something, I tell myself, we got to do more of it. I mean, because I want him to learn. I want him to be a part of the world, because he's growing up. He's going to have to one day get out here on his own. You know, I tell him all the time that, you know, we're not going to be together all the time. He's going to have to take on a lot of responsibilities as an adult in a few years. So I'm always trying to show him so he doesn't get out here and fall on his face and fail. I want him to be the best person he can be out here in the world on his own, without his dad, without his mom, because he will be an adult. And I'm always talking to him about those things. We always we have these father and son talks every so often. And sometimes he hates them, sometimes he loves them. But you know what? There are times when I will ask him, hey, it's father and son talk. He'll grumpily come on over and sit down, and he'll be, you know, looking as if he's disappointed. As if he should be doing something other than just sitting down talking to me. But once the conversation starts, once we start talking, once we have our father and son talks, he really starts to enjoy them. It's just getting him to the point where we can talk about them. But once we start talking and I start telling him things, he starts getting really interested. Whenever I talk to my son on father and son talk days, I try to add a little humor into the talk, into the conversation. So I know that'll hold him, because he loves to laugh, you know. So if you're listening, if you have fathers and son talks or daughter and mother talks, add some humor into the conversation and they'll stick with you. And you have to be real, and make sure when you're talking to your son or your daughter, make sure you're giving them advice that they can need, that they need. And it should be all good. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, 347-857-1762. If you miss a show here, you will miss a lot. Yeah, I'm hearing that they had some sort of incident at the in Washington, D.C. I believe it's along the Capitol building, where they had to shut the Capitol building down. I'm telling you, folks, terrorism, terrorism, terrorism. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let me see what we got here. We will be right back. Stay with me, people. Thank you. Okay, we're just learning that another child has been shot in Chicago on the South Side. I think last week there was a 13-year-old boy who was rallying, and he was even in commercials about ending the violence in Chicago. He was shot in the back, 13-year-olds, and a child was just shot. I mean, the violence just goes on. And there, and I believe the day before Easter, some of the pastors and ministers and leaders and community organizers on the south side of the city of Chicago, they were calling for a one day without violence, at least on Easter, for there to be no violence on Easter. They were calling for it. It was all on the news and video, YouTube. They were calling for no shooting on Easter. Did it work? No, it did not. These people shot their asses off. They were shooting their asses off. And we've just got, in the city of Chicago, we just got a new superintendent of police, an interim chief of police for Chicago. But I don't think this is going to, I mean, if you're going to get a new chief of police, a lot of people are bitching about it. A lot of people are saying that it should have been someone else. A lot of people are saying that the mayor just wanted control over the police board because they chose three candidates that the mayor did not choose. The mayor went for somebody who was inside instead of going with someone who was outside of the, Chicago. And, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, how are they going to stop the violence in the city of Chicago? What plans does he have to curbing the violence in Chicago? Because every time there's a one's fired, a new one comes in, the violence goes up, and we have to pay these people over $300,000 for a job they can't seem to get a handle on. The violence in the city of Chicago is just a mess, because every time somebody is shot or killed in the city of Chicago, it reverberates all around the damn world, all around the place. Mayor Emanuel is not the greatest mayor. I'm going to tell you something. He's an embarrassment. This man doesn't know the first thing about running a city, because if he did, we would not have all these strikes. We would not have these high ass taxes. We would not have all these killings, these murders. Wow. 347-857-1762. Governor Bruce Rauner came out of his shell today and and he was talking about the one-day action that the teachers and a lot of other people are going to be taking off work on Friday for one day. It's like a one-day strike, a one day of action for the teachers. And Mayor, he's saying that it's not right, that it's illegal, but there's nothing he can do about it. I mean, he's been weakened. But you think about it. This guy is the governor of Illinois. He didn't say anything about the crime. He didn't say anything about these high taxes that we're going to be paying. He didn't say anything about trying to, you know, negotiate with the legislature to get a budget for the state of Illinois. He just came out and started talking about the teachers, and which he refuses to fund these public schools. But he seemed like he was a little bit more nicer than some. In some days he came out, he seemed a little bit more nicer as he talked. A few weeks ago he came out, I mean, he was blasting Michael Madigan and John Cullerton in the legislature in Illinois. I guess that's because he lost in the March 15 primaries. At least his minions lost in the primaries. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. I just wanted to bring that up onto the show, that a child was just shot on the south side of the Chicago, the city that I live. I don't know what the police are doing. What are they doing? What are they getting paid to do? They're not stopping violence. That's something that they're not doing. I mean, on Easter Day, an elderly person was attacked in her building, in the elevator, by a thug. And this thug is still on the loose. He's still out there. There's video of him, you know, attacking the elderly lady. And this guy is still out there. He's still out there. He's probably still sticking up and robbing and knocking people in the head. And that's another thing I want to mention. That is another thing I want to mention. A lot of these guys out here who are shooting people, murdering people, robbing people, sticking them up, they're still on the loose. I mean, they are still out here. The police can't even seem to find out where these guys are or women are so they can arrest these people. As you and I know, if someone shoots someone else, homicide, if someone shoots someone else and they don't get caught, they're out there to do it again and again and again and again. I just recently saw some video of young kids, young criminals breaking into gun stores and stealing guns and running out the back. And this is happening all over the United States. Young people in groups, 6 or 7, maybe 10, breaking and busting into gun shops and taking and stealing a whole lot of guns. They stuff the guns. They break the windows. They break the cases where the guns are, and they start just stuffing them damn guns into the sacks, guns, ammo, everything. Guns to be used out on the streets. That was a fascinating video. It was sad. And the thing about it, the police don't have a clue to where to find these guys. I believe 2 or 3 have been arrested. If 2 or 3 have been arrested, then the other ones should be, you know, arrested real soon. Hopefully, because these guys have stolen all of these guns, all of these weapons. The police has to find those guns before they are used out here on the streets. And they will be used. I'm not saying that this happened in Chicago, but I think it's happening everywhere where young people are just, you know, getting into an SUV, running it into a gun shop, busting the windows, shattering the glass, getting out, running inside with their duffel bag or their sacks, busting the case windows, and loading up on weapons and ammunition. And then they're shooting right back out the store into their vans, and they're driving off. Next thing you know, those guns are being used in crime on the streets or robbing businesses, sticking up businesses. But you know what I like to see? What really gets me is when a robber or somebody walks into a store with a gun on the clerk, saying, and demanding money. And then suddenly you see the clerk turn the tables on the robber. That's great. I mean, that's dumb, but it's great, because anytime you turn the tables on a robber with a gun, you can wind up getting shot. But somebody has to stand up. People have to stand up against this type of crap. You know, they have to stand up against this. You just can't let these thugs just come in and take over. Okay, now that guy is a hero in a way. And some, the police would say he's stupid. He should have just given the robber the money. But you have to stand up. You have to do something against all this crime. And I've just heard that the guy with the gun who had the tables turned on him, the bad guy, he has not been caught. And so if someone hasn't been caught, they're out there to do it again. But he's probably going to think about this before he do it again. Because one of the things about robbers, especially if they're walking up to you on the street and trying to rob you and take stuff from you, in this day and age, everybody is armed. That would be crazy for you to walk out in the street without having something, especially if you live in a high crime area. But the robber is not going to think that you are armed when they're trying to rob you. But this can happen, you know. I mean, when I walk out the house, whether I'm going to the store, to the post office, to the park or whatever, I'm armed. I don't want to be. I have to be. Because I'm going to fight back if I can. If all possible, I can. But I'm not going to put my family in harm's way. You know, but it's crazy to walk out here in the streets of Chicago and you're not armed. But you'll be surprised at all the people who are walking out here and in other cities who are actually armed, concealed and carry. But you got in Arizona and Texas, you got people walking out open and carry. You know, so I don't know. It's crazy. 347-857-1762. My guest is author Nancy Verdin. And we're going to talk about why do you write? Why do I write? We'll talk about, you know, this is just crazy. Everything is just, I don't know. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he was, the world has gone completely crazy. You know what? I agreed with him. I totally agreed with him. You know, I mean, it doesn't take me to tell you folks that the world has gone nuts, you know. So, all right, we're going to be right back, people. I will be right back. Thank you for staying with me.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
That is always fun. That makes you want to scream, right? That is always fun. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 347-857-1762 on Block Talk Radio. And it is a wonderful spring day outside. It is 6:27 straight up Chicago time, p.m., and it is beautiful outside. I'm in my studio, as I've always say. I'm near the lakefront, and it's great weather out here. Near the lakefront. It's always cooler near the lake than it is inland. So that gets to us sometimes. You know, if the weatherman says it's 70 degrees outside, it's going to be 60 where I am because I'm near the lake. But it's beautiful. The sun is shining. People are going here and there. They should be at home listening to me, but that's another story. That's another story. And it's great. It's wonderful. And thanks, everybody, for all your feedback. I'm going to say this again. I know you get tired of me saying this, but I got to say it because people are so nice. They're so wonderful with your feedback, your positive feedback. Thanks for all my Facebook friends. And thanks to those people who sound like I'm accepting an Oscar, don't I? Thanks, everybody, who's bought and downloaded my stories, books, novels, and all that kind of thing. And my guests will be author Nancy Verdin on my show today, and that's gonna be great. All right, get your podcast ready. We're gonna go for it. 347-857-1762. Only listen to me. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. You know, I mean, I try to put a lot in these damn shows. I really, really do, because I enjoy what I'm doing. I really do enjoy what I'm doing. Okay, let's go to the phones. Oh, boy. Hello, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hey, Nancy. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for calling. Oh, wow. I just feel so good. I'm in my studio. I'm looking out on the Broadway here, and the sun is shining, and it's just gorgeous. People are jogging,
you're
walking. Lucky.
You might be right. It's as gray as it's cold, it's rainy, and it's gray today here.
Oh, last week it was like that. I mean, it was storming, it was raining, it was lightning, and it was messing with the radio. I was on the air, and I had a guest. We were in and out because of it was so bad last week. Because this is the internet. This is an internet radio, and a lightning might, you never know. Well, anyway, yes, ladies and gentlemen, okay. Nancy Verdon is on the show. Thanks for coming. All righty, glad to have you here. Tell us something about yourself, and which book do you want to talk about?
I'm going to concentrate on talking about Fight. It's my second and my third book. The reason I say that is because I wrote it after the first one back in 2013, and I rewrote it, and it's in its second edition, which just came out this last October.
Okay, sounds great. Give us a little bio.
Sure. I am a mental health and recovery advocate and founder of the Always the Fight Ministry, which is my whole point of all of that is to reach out to people who are hurting emotionally or struggling emotionally and to the supports, the people around them who are trying so hard to be helpful and often don't know how to do so. Or don't know how to do so without becoming overwhelmed themselves. So this is why I write.
Wow.
This is why I go out speaking. Yeah.
Okay. So you've basically taken some of your own personal experiences and trying to help others.
Absolutely. In January of 2011, I tried to end my life. It was like there was this, for months, there was this shroud coming down out of the sky, figuratively, of course, and as the light in my life grew darker and darker as this came down, it finally rested on my shoulders, and I was just engulfed in blackness, and I couldn't see outside of it. I couldn't see anything but myself and pain. So I was in the hospital after that.
Wow.
And I was surprised that I was alive. It was kind of like people would ask me questions like, well, what can you do to feel better? And I didn't know, and I didn't care. I remember walking through the hospital halls, just kind of hugging the walls, and other times not getting out of the bed at all. And it was because there was nothing I wanted more than to be dead. And so I attempted again in the hospital. But what is unique about the situation, I think, is that while all of that was going on, despair was so overwhelming. I was also writing. As soon as I left the emergency room and went into the medical part of the hospital, I was approached by a psychiatrist who handed me a journal and a pen, and she said, "Write," and left the room.
Wow.
And I did. And it was just journaling, of course, but it was almost a compulsion. And by the time I was done, a year later, it was a book, and that's my first book. It's titled Called to Live.
Okay.
It came out
during
in
that period.
2013. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, since that, during that period, you had a feeling of worthlessness, you were depressed.
Oh, yeah.
And yet 5 years later, I'm not the same woman. You there? Nancy? Oh, she's gone. All right, ladies and gentlemen, somehow I've lost my guest. I've lost her, so she's. We're going to take a break right here, see if we can find her. She hung up or something. Okay. All right, we're back on the George Wilder Jr. Show, Block Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. Let's go back to the phones. I think Nancy.
Hi.
Yeah, Nancy. Hi, what happened?
I don't know, and I hope it doesn't happen again.
I don't know. I looked at my screen, and all of a sudden, you weren't there anymore.
Yeah, no, I just suddenly got a busy signal, so that it just.
Yeah, you know
I
what?
Heard your question.
You know what? It happens. Go right ahead.
It happens. I heard your question. Yeah. You said something about, and 5 years later, and I think you were probably leading up to what's going on now. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I'm reading what you're writing here. You said 5 years later, I'm not the same woman as you previously stated that you were had a feeling of worthlessness and you were depressed during those times. And someone just said to you, a doctor said, write or something.
Yes. Thoroughly depressed. Like I said earlier, I was nothing I wanted to do more than die. But what happened in the follow-up care? Even though I was angry and distressing and I kind of had one eye on the ultimate escape, I thought maybe these people who are trying to help me know more than I do. They've had years of experience. They've worked with a lot of people. Maybe they know something I don't know. So that's the little bit of hope that I had at the beginning. And I was listening to them as they were teaching me things about, you know, it's okay to take care of your needs and to make sure they're met. They introduced me to the concept of false core beliefs, which I didn't know existed, and I didn't know I had any. Basically, what that is core beliefs that are running your life, more or less, but you may not even be aware of them. And some of my negative core beliefs were, you know, surrounded that worthlessness issue, you know. And so discovering that those exist and, you know, what to do about them has been a life changer.
Okay. Wow. So if you had, I mean, what do your clients say or the people, say about your writings and what you're trying to do and how you're trying to help them?
Well, I have to tell you, first of all, I don't have clients, and it's really important to specify that I'm not a mental health professional. I'm an advocate, but I'm a person who has been through it, and that's why I go around talking about it. But nothing I say should be construed as mental health, you know, should take the place of mental health care.
Okay, so you're just an advocate.
Okay.
You're just
an
advocate. That's I'm an advocate, too. I go around telling people stuff, too. Hopefully they'll adhere to it because I'm the same as you. I share my experiences or my negative experiences with those who are probably out here going through some of the same things in hopes I can help them just like someone has helped me.
Exactly. And that's, again, that's back to why I write. You know, I want to let people know there's hope, there is eternal hope, and how to discover hope when you don't have any. You know, you asked me what people, how people have responded to me. And I have to tell you, some of these stories that have come to me are so touching. And it just thrills me to death. I feel very, very humbled when somebody tells me that something I've said has helped them. But one of the most common things, you've experienced that too.
That's great.
It is. One of the most common responses I think I've received before is, how did you get in my head? Because people who are thoroughly depressed, and when we're getting into major clinical depression, we're talking about people who are dysfunctional. They can't even do their daily life like they would normally do. When they're to that point, we tend to believe we're alone there.
Yes.
And I know that for me, I had to be taught that people struggle like I do. I didn't know that. I thought I was, you know, unique out there.
You thought you were alone.
And I did. And so it's nice when somebody says to me, how did you get in my head? Because they're going, I thought it was just me. No, it's not you. In fact, there are so many commonalities between people who struggle with depression. It's pretty interesting. I'm sorry.
No, you can go right ahead.
One of the stories that probably has touched me the most, because I was 49 when I attempted suicide. So when I went out and talked to some women at a rehab, I was speaking as a middle-aged person who had just had this experience and was still in the process of coming out of it. And another middle-aged woman was sitting there amidst all these younger kids, really, young adults. And she said, because you have been able to look at life like it's got possibilities, maybe I can too. She said, I thought I was too old, that I didn't matter anymore. But you're doing it, so maybe my life can matter too. I have to tell you, that is one of the top responses I've ever heard. And I've heard people say similar things, but to have someone who can relate to the fear of aging and be able to take from my life that it's not over in your 50s is really
or
really
60s.
Blessing.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know what? I'm looking at your blog and you have a compassionate love blog. What is that about?
You know, that's just a way that I get to reach out twice a week to people who want to read what I have to say.
It's
a lot of topics.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It covers a lot of topics, but it's primarily focused on what I said, you know, giving information, I think my most popular blog that's been shared a lot, the one called My Depressed Loved One Won't Get Out of Bed, What Should I Say?
Wow.
And that has had a huge response. And it's because people are genuinely out of the loop on what to do when they're faced with major depression in another person. We don't really know how to respond.
Yeah. And that question is a loaded question, and you just have to follow it up, you know.
I have a seminar that I teach called How to Help Hurting People Without Hurting Yourself. Mm-hmm. And in that seminar, I give people a good outside view of depression. I explain what is probably going on in their loved one or could be going on in their loved one and why that person is dysfunctional and unable to be who they used to be. And then I go into boundaries, how you can keep from being overwhelmed and what boundaries are okay to draw. You know, how do I know I'm not hurting this other person if I say no?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last part of that seminar, I give practical ideas of how to support. But it's just across the board, it seems. Everywhere I go, people have questions about, my friend, my wife, my daughter. And it's a tough one to deal with, because when somebody is majorly depressed, they're making your life difficult in indirect ways.
Yeah, you know what, I think some of us have always, there's some of us who have experienced depression. I mean, who hasn't? I mean, I have experienced worthlessness. I have experienced depression. Sometimes it comes without even, it just surprises me sometimes. And I can get up one morning out of the bed and I can just be depressed. You know, and I'm saying, why am I feeling like this? Why is this happening? It could be because, you know, depression for me can be just by sitting in my studio looking out of the window and it's raining and it's storming and the day is gray. So I'm feeling just like the day, the way it's looking, I'm feeling as gray as the day is. And
I love that statement. that's very visual and artistic. I feel like the day looks. That's good.
Yeah. It's in me. And, so how would you, tell someone how to get out of that kind of a feeling, a depressing feeling?
I want to clarify something first, and then I can tell you the answer to your question.
Are you an advocate? Okay. okay.
The thing I want to clarify is that there's different levels of bad mood,
depression,
you might say, or sadness. Okay, there's a normal range of emotions, and inside of that is what you're describing, a bad day,
mm-hmm.
a bad moment, a day where you feel like
yeah.
the rain, and that is within the normal range of emotions. We all go there. We have good days, we have great days, we have
mm-hmm.
bad days, and we have
mm-hmm.
grief, and
mm-hmm.
those are all fitting within what is normal for every human on the planet. That's
mm-hmm.
why I wouldn't, I mean, it feels depressing, but I wouldn't call it depression. And I'm splitting a hair on that because when we get into the actual diagnosing of depression, it passes
mm-hmm.
burnout and grief and all of those things and down into the point where you're actually debilitated and it goes on for some time. Maybe
mm-hmm.
you can't go to work. You know, for me, it was not being able to talk to people. Isolating is a real common response with major depression, or symptom, I should say, of major depression. Eating too much or not enough, sleeping too much or not enough, feeling like you have no joy in activities that you usually are excited about, feeling worthless, of course, hopeless, all of those things. But when I say worthless and hopeless, I mean there's no sense of it. Like I'm worth a little less than I was last week or something like that, maybe. But you understand,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the pit.
Yes, I understand.
I'm talking about not being able to carry on, because depression moves from just thoughts and bad day into physical symptoms and a low energy, low motivation. I remember feeling like I was walking through sludge. Like I had my psychologist tell me once, why don't you just open the blinds? Because I was literally living in the dark, you know? And that's a common symptom, I think, of people who are depressed, is we just want to hole up, and that's why we hide under covers. But in my apartment, I had everything shut off. And I remember getting off the couch to walk and open the blinds, and that was all I could do. I had to sit for a couple
mm-hmm.
more hours because that was all the energy I had. That wasn't physical. That wasn't the flu or something, you know?
People,
hello?
Do you think some...
Okay.
Hello, I'm here. I'm here. You're
okay,
there? Oh, I was going to
yeah.
ask you a question. Do you think that some people force depression amongst themselves, on themselves?
Force depression on themselves?
To make themselves feel depressed?
You know, there's negativity. We all know negative people, and we can all be
mm-hmm.
negative from time to time. So, yes, in a sense that we can create for ourselves a bad day. But when it comes to the diagnosis of major depression, which I have actually been diagnosed with major depression recurrent, which means that for me personally, that is where I feel the rainy day thing every day. And so I have to make a decision every day. Am I going to go with that feeling, or am I going to focus on something else? And that's where I am not necessarily, as far as I know, at least I haven't learned this, I don't believe I'm in control of major depression. If it is
mm-hmm.
there, and it's going to make life a little tougher for me than it does for maybe
okay.
some other people. But
mm-hmm.
it is something I can manage. And
okay.
So for instance, if I'm thinking, okay, this is a really bad day, my major depression is going to take me down to the path to, I don't have a reason to be here. I don't mean to be scary or exaggerating. I'm saying that that's where my brain will take me. So, and pretty quickly. So what I do in between is, okay, it's a rainy day. I can tell that today is the day that I might really struggle. So what can I do today to be proactive against
mm-hmm.
that? Maybe what I need to do today is make sure I'm watching, you know, what I eat, especially carefully, so that I don't go off the deep end. Maybe I need to talk to a friend, reach out to somebody. Maybe I need to stay busy, just a variety of things.
Okay.
One of the things that you mentioned earlier, which is really smart, you said that you'll feel the day looks, and you'll ask yourself, why do I feel this way? What is this? Well, that is a great question to ask because it centers us. And when I've got that time where I'm thinking, or I think I might think, stopping to ask, why am I feeling this way? Okay, maybe X, Y, Z. Oh, well, are they true or are they just thoughts? You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, so-and-so doesn't like me. Okay, well, what do you have to back that up? Is that a thought or is that true? What evidence is there? And of course, the evidence is rarely there. And so then the question is, what is true? Well, the last time they spoke to me, they were liking me just fine, you know? So that may sound simplistic, but that's similar to what I'm talking about with managing depression. You learn in therapy. I didn't hear your question. Could you repeat it? Hi, George. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I can hear you.
Okay, now I can.
Okay, you can now? Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I was asking, are you working on a new book? What happened? You were there? Oh, she's gone again. She is gone again. That was Nancy Verdon and Why Do You Write on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Maybe she'll call back. I don't know. But I'm thinking it's her phone. That's her phone, not mine. Nancy,
Hi.
I think it's something's wrong with your phone.
I agree. We're
Nancy?
In bad weather over here, and I think my cell's trying to cut out. I apologize to you and to your audience, by the way. Sorry about the interruption.
You know what? Like I said before at the beginning of your call, I mean, I've had bad weather. I know what bad weather can do, believe me. And my audience, listeners, podcasters out there, they know what bad weather can do. We all understand and we all, you know, so don't even worry about it. It happens. I mean, it's your phone. The next thing you know, it'll be my computer, you know, so.
All right.
Okay.
As long as everybody
out
there is still listening, hang in there, folks.
Yeah, they're here. I can see them right here.
Awesome.
Are you working on another book?
I am. The seminar that I was just describing, I'm writing a book by the same title.
Okay.
How to Help Hurting People Without Hurting Yourself.
Oh, that's a great title. That's a wonderful title. And your previous books, where can we find them?
Well, my website is just my name, and that's got the link to everything you could want to know and probably more. It's nancyverdon.com. So Verdon is spelled with a V. It's V as in Victor, and then it's I-R-D as in dog, E, and then N as in Nancy. So nancyverdon.com.
So if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, want to find more about what you do, they go to your website.
Yep, it's all there.
Hey, Nancy, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
One of the things I want to ask you before you go, is there anything else you want to say that you haven't said already?
That is the first time I've ever been asked that. I think that what I really want to get across to folks is that my hope has come, it started out being hope in my therapist, you know, like maybe they know something I don't know. And then it grew into hope in myself, you know, maybe I can learn this stuff. Maybe I can manage this depression. But throughout it as an undercurrent was this hope that maybe God had a plan for me and a purpose. There are times I didn't believe that was true, mind you. Okay. But there was kind of an undercurrent of a maybe. And I guess I would just like to add that that's been discovered now. I know what my purpose is, And so anybody out there who is thinking about, I don't have a tomorrow, there's no reason for me to be here tomorrow, maybe thoughts are coming across as, you know, my family won't care or they'll get over it soon, those kinds of thinking, kind of thoughts. I guess I just want to say that sometimes the reason to stay alive is because of the beauty. It's around the corner.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. you never know exactly what you're going to see. But if you kill yourself today, that's it. And
yes.
Yeah, so that's just what I want to get out to people. So I was at that
okay.
place where I believed there was nothing, you know, and it turned out there was.
Okay, I'm going to – this show will there be a link to the show? Would you like to have it to upload it on your website or blog? I can send it to you.
Oh, I have it already. Yeah,
you have it already?
Yeah.
This show?
Yeah,
the one we're doing now?
This show. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
One.
Okay, tell me something. Cause... Wonderful.
I'm
great.
Open to
Nancy.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I just said I told people to listen, so hopefully they are.
Okay, great. Hopefully your people listening and mine. All right, thanks for being on the show, and come back, all right?
Sure. It was nice talking to you, George.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Nancy Varden on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She was fun. I tell you, folks, I have great people on the show. There's great people on the show all the time. And listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Don't listen to any other show. And I'm out of Chicago, and it's still beautiful outside, and it is great. I mean, if you're in a place where a state or a city or a town where you're having great weather, get out there and enjoy it. Even if you're just taking a walk around the neighborhood, enjoy the neighborhood. Get to know your neighbors. Get to know what's in your area, you know, but stay away from the thieves and the crooks. But get out there and enjoy yourself. You know, don't let terrorism or criminal activity keep you bounded in your house. It's your neighborhood. It's your area. Get out there and enjoy it, especially for the seniors and the elderly. But always be conscious and vigilant of what's around you, no matter what neighborhood you live in. You go, well, ain't nothing ever happened here. It could happen any minute, any night. Oh, it's too nice here. Nothing ever. Oh, yes, it will. Watch out for any suspicious people, any suspicious bags or duffel bags or shopping bags sitting idly by itself. You know, but get out there and enjoy the day. And I want to thank my guest, Nancy Varden, for being on the show. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
We were just talking about Governor Bruce Rauner. He's out of his cocoon, and he's not talking. This is the one governor that I've never heard talk about the violence in the city of Chicago, at least not to any extent. I mean, he's talking about the one-day teacher strike, one day. They don't even call it a strike. They call it a one day of action, you know. It's a day that they're going to get out and protest school funding. You're going to have college and university students downtown protesting Bruce Rauner, lack of budget, because a lot of the college and the universities are not getting their proper funding from the state, and it has been months. We are 10 months without a budget in this in the state of Illinois, and we see this governor, and he's responsible for it. He doesn't even mention anything whatsoever about the budget. He comes on television. He answers and talks and say the things he wants to say. He doesn't take questions from the media. He doesn't take questions from reporters or anything like most politicians will do. He doesn't want to take questions from no one because he wants to be controller. So and I'm surprised at that, that he never says anything about the state of Illinois, which he has put it in. Now, one of the things about Bruce Rauner, he said, well, we got to stop all this spending in the state of Illinois because the state doesn't have any money. So he's cutting all the, I mean, jobs have been lost. People have been upended. Homelessness has increased under this guy. The disabled children, the elderly, seniors, all of these programs for these people have been impacted. You've got the tourism industry in Chicago. It's impacted. 4,600 people will be laid off, from my understanding. You have museums. You have, I mean, anything under the rim of the state of Illinois is being impacted. The programs that are not being impacted, they are running and continually to run because of court orders. If it was for, if it was up to Bruce Rauner, every bit of spending in the state of Illinois would have ceased, would have stopped if it was up to him. And he'll just say, well, the Illinois can't continue down this road because Illinois doesn't have any money. This, folks, if this guy was given the opportunity to break unions, to disrupt workmen's compensation, collective bargaining, if he could get those things, we would have a budget in minutes. We would have a budget in minutes. Rauner wants control. If he can't get control of certain things in the state of Illinois, for example, the Chicago Public Schools, Rauner would rather see this state destroyed. He would let this state become a former state, and then he would blame the Democrats. Rauner can't get what he wants. He wants chaos. He wants to see it destroyed. He's going to let the world, I mean, actually let Illinois fall off the roof because he can't get what he wants. College and university students are being upended because he refuses to pay the state's bills. The state has bills. Every state has bills. And it's the governor's responsibility to pay those bills. The Illinois state constitution said that Illinois should always have a budget. He is not living up to the constitution of the state, and he doesn't care. And he doesn't care, and the guy is getting the hell away with it. He's getting away with it. Bruce Rauner has not done his job since he's been governor. He's not done it. I mean, if you and I don't do our jobs, they're going to fire us. Why is this guy still governor when he's done nothing but hurt this state in disguise that it doesn't have any money? If it didn't have any money, the legislature would not be sending him budgets almost every day. The Illinois is not sending him a budget because they know that he's going to veto it. And the Illinois legislature cannot override anything that Rauner does until November. Then they can override. Then they can override just about anything that he tries to do, even if he's using his executive authority. But November is a long way from now to be without a budget. Once November comes, it would be almost a year. It would be going coming up on 2 years, on a year, not two, without a budget for this state. And this guy will not talk about a budget. He will not take question and answers. He will not be in an answer, question and answer kind of a thing with reporters. It's not going to happen with this guy. He doesn't like to answer questions. Bruce Rauner like to tell you what he thinks and what he wants and how he wants it, and then he departs. He is destroying the state, folks. It's cut. It's cut and rip with this guy. I mean, he's a Republican governor, you know. But he has the reason why we are surviving is because we have a Democratic legislature in the state of Illinois. If it was a Republican legislature, oh man, it would be a mess. And they would be going around the state acting like they're heroes trying to save the state when they're nothing but Sopranos, the Sopranos in disguise. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We just got through talking to Nancy Verdon. She was great. She was wonderful. I mean, you just cannot do a show, any kind of a talk show host or show at all, period, without talking about terrorism in the United States. Hell, we got terrorism on the south and west sides of the city in Chicago. People are moving out of this city. They are moving out of this state. But you're not going to hear that from Rahm Emanuel or Governor Rauner. They're not going to tell you that. Businesses are leaving. The taxes are too damn high. The media will tell you that people are leaving the state. But the politicians will not, because they don't want you to believe it. They don't want you to, you know. And the thing about it in Illinois, they're just letting people do it. They're letting the state just go under. They're just sitting, people are suffering. Kids, the disabled, seniors. Senior programs have been upended. You can't go to a senior program anymore. I mean, I used to be a volunteer at one of these senior programs in Chicago called the Center on Halsted. I mean, the seniors that came there, they were beautiful. I mean, they were some really beautiful people. And most of the time when they came, visited that particular place that I volunteered for, they were just coming to make friends, coming to some place where they were where they could have fun, play pool, bingo, or whatever, you know. Now those programs have been dismantled because of Bruce Rauner. A lot of those seniors would go to that place and to eat, you know. I was one of the cooks, voluntary cooks. And it feels good. It felt good when you was doing something. Just like Nancy said, it felt good when you're doing something to help people. And those people look at you and say, thank you very much. They look at you and say, thank you very much, George. You're doing a great job. We like what you do. That is just a great, great feeling. And then they'll turn around and say, keep up what you're doing. And now some of these programs have been upended, destroyed because of Bruce Rauner, a Republican governor who actually just hate people. He's not a people person. If you ever saw him, if you ever listened to him, you can tell he'll pretend like he's, I mean, of course he's going to say, well, we want more money for schools, we want more money for the state. How can he say those things when he is ripping those programs apart himself by ripping away the funding and then blaming someone else? Bruce, we're not that crazy. We're not that dumb. It's just, you know, it's just mind-boggling, you know, that this guy think we're that stupid. But let me go back and say that this guy is not doing his job. Why is he still governor? He hasn't done a thing but hurt people. He hasn't done a thing but hurt this state. But like I said, the legislature in Illinois has an up on it. We'll just have to wait until November, because we just had a March 15 election, and we just voted in another representative who's going to hopefully not, you know, vote with Bruce Rauner and vote with the people who have put our ass in office. And then we can probably turn this around in November and have a budget, because I don't think we're going to I don't think this guy's going to budge on getting a budget. He's just going to blame people and say this is wrong, that's wrong, but he has no way of fixing it. I know you probably heard about Bruce Rauner wanting to take over Chicago Public Schools. That didn't happen. That should never happen. How in the hell can this guy take over Chicago Public Schools when he can't even fix this state? That is not going to happen, folks. But this guy is not the governor a lot of people thought he would be. There are so many people out there who voted for this guy. They want their vote back. But it's too late. It's too late. But as long as we got a Democratic legislature in the state of Illinois, this guy cannot get away with doing so much dirt. He can use his executive powers to rip some of these programs apart, but he cannot destroy Illinois as he wants to do, destroying it and then blaming others and hoping we buy it. That is not going to happen. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank my guest, Nancy Verdon. She did a great job. Hopefully she'll come back on the show and tell us some more about depression. It is great. I'm having a lot of fun, folks. Be right back.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Here he is. Secret Service squashes armed GOP convention. You probably heard about this. The convention that's coming up for the GOP presidential nomination, they wanted all of their members to carry guns into the convention, on the convention floor. The Secret Service saying, hell no, nobody's going to be carrying guns. That's crazy. They're going to be shooting up the places that happens, whether these people are carrying them illegal or legal. They're going to be shooting up the places. The Republicans are crazy. I mean, I think they have really ruined their party. The Republican establishment is going to cease to be, because they have too many erratic members. I mean, even the Republican base is saying, hey, we got to go. I'm becoming a Democrat. Hey, I'm going to be an independent. They're leaving the party. But just like Bruce Rauner and Rahm Emanuel do not give a damn, you know, Republicans don't give a damn. They don't care if you leave their party. They don't care. You know, they're going to still be assholes. They don't care. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'll be on for the next three nights. I hope you guys be with me. It's going to be lots of fun. 347-857-1762. That's the number if you want to call in. But if you want to sit back and listen, you go right ahead. Podcast the show for later. It will be available just like every other show there is. Wow. California governor says deal to reach for $15 minimum wage, $15 an hour. That's great. That's great. I wrote a short story at one time, and I wrote a short story, and I advocated for $16 an hour. It's a great story, folks. Just pick it up. It's on Amazon. It's called Cold-Blooded Bullet. It's a short story. I'm relegating myself to writing short stories instead of novels. Novels take too long to write. And you don't know, you never know if they're going to be a bestseller or not. You never know if you're going to get a review or not. I think short stories are the way to go for me. And I'm going to be doing a lot of short stories until the day I can't do them anymore or can't write them anymore, because I love them. I think like so many other short story writers, a short story stands beside a novel. I mean, I've read so many novels, 300 and 400 pages. They were awful. And a short story, it's great. It's great. So I do a lot of short story writing. I do have novels up there on Amazon. Check those things out. They're great. They're wonderful. And some 99 cents, $2.99, $4.99. I mean, they're affordable. What can I say? And I'm looking at Donald Trump right here. I'm so sick of talking about Donald Trump. Images show ISIS didn't completely destroy some building in Palestine. This is crazy. Okay, John Kerry, the Republican primary race is an embarrassment. He's saying those things, but we already know it's an embarrassment. I mean, what are they doing talking about each other's wives, Ted Cruz and Donald Trump? It's awful. And I guess we have to talk about them because everybody else is talking about them. And Tom Huddleston discusses the life of singer Hank Williams. Okay. There's going to be an autobiography of the life of Hank Williams, and it's going to be Tom Huddleston. That's the guy, that's one of the Avengers. That's one of the bad guys in the Avengers. And I think he was the best in the Avengers, the bad guy. What was his name? Loki. He was the best thing in the Avengers from my opinion. Okay, folks, I'm just rambling along here, you know. just give me. All righty, what we have here, Trump, white nationalist, figure out who should be the president. Oh, man, he's got racists picking people to be in his cabinet. Donald Trump. Wow, what? Okay, female TV reporters read the sexist, horrible emails they received. All right, I get a lot of horrible emails too in my inbox, and you know, I guess we all get them. We just delete them, you know, and unfriend the person who has sent them. All righty, I'm going through some stuff here, folks. So, okay, I talked about my new photo on Facebook, and I want to say again, all you folks who gave me a thumbs up for that new photo, thank you. And I want to tell everybody about the April 1st first action day for teachers, students, college students, university students. We're all going to be down there. A lot of other groups are going to be down there. It should be fun. I'm going to take a lot of pictures, folks. I may even get up on the podium and blast this Governor Bruce Rauner. So you might see me on TV, folks. Because I plan to talk, I plan to write a speech, I plan to be there, because I don't want to see this state go down the gutter, and it is just about there, and nobody cares. So on that first day of action on April 1st, this is now March 28th, so if you're listening to this in a podcast, if you're listening to it later, you know this is a dated show, and I'm going to be down there on the 1st. And with everybody else carrying picket signs, walking in circles, however, I'm gonna try and get up on a podium, get a TV camera on me, and just blast this governor. Maybe blast every Republican governor there is, because this is just crazy. We, the people of Illinois, we're not gonna let somebody come into our state and totally destroy it. It ain't going to happen, Bruce Rauner. And we don't know where you came from, but we wish you would go back there. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, just trying to get this show going. Oh, okay, it's 7:20 p.m. Chicago time. And it's getting dark. The sun has gone down, folks. But it was there at first. All right, we will be right back. Stay with me, people.
Father, open eyes that we may
Okay, welcome back to the George Waddle Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Thanks for being with me. All right, prize football recruit charged after video shows him beating a woman. I don't know what's wrong with these guys. I mean, they love to beat on women. They love to beat up on women. They love to get women out here to do their sex trafficking. I don't know. This is just I'm starting to agree with my friend. I mean, my Facebook friend and a lot of my Facebook friends and in saying that the world has just gone completely mad. People are stupider than ever before. I mean, 10 or 15 years ago, I would have never, ever thought people were as dumb as they are now. Some people are just not all people. There's still a few of us out here who has a bit of sense, but the world is just, I mean, it is so backwards. And Obama is about to leave the White House. A lot of people are crying because of that. I don't know why you're crying. Good riddance to him. I don't think he's done anything great. If you ask yourself, I mean, with all this terrorism, of course it's not his fault. None of this terrorism, a lot of things that happen is not his fault, but it's happening under his watch. You know what I'm saying? It's not his fault, but it's happening under his watch. Racism is stronger and more prevalent before before when he was inaugurated into office. Now it is more. We have more terrorism, people dying more so than ever before, than any time. People are not together. People hate each other. Racism is stronger than ever before since he took office. And all he can do is do an Easter egg roll, have parties in the White House. I don't know. Well, in my sense, he's been a disappointment. Okay? I mean, you're probably going to disagree with me. I'm not a Republican, believe me. I voted for the guy twice. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We have about 2 or 3 minutes left into the show. Let's see, what can we talk about? I want to say thanks, folks. Thanks for being with me. And I'll be on for the next 3 nights. Make sure you tune your computer or your radio to my show. My show, the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, I'll see you tomorrow, folks. Hopefully you can join me tomorrow. We will have another outstanding guest on the show. The guests are always... Oh, someone said 90 seconds. Okay, we always have 90... wow, we always have great guests on this show. And we always will have great guests on this show. So always tune in to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Join me tomorrow, folks, at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.